Everyone wants confidence, but what most people fail to realize is that confidence is the aftermath of deep inner work. Join me and world-renowned prophet, healer, spiritual teacher, and medium, and best-selling author, Calvin Witcher, for a conversation that uncovers what it really takes to become unapologetic. In this episode, you'll learn why most leaders are simply seeking significance, how to create true confidence and step into your most unapologetic self, and the power that comes from confidence in action. For over two decades, Calvin, affectionately known as the Prophet, has been recognized for his divine insights, his channeled guidance from beyond, and his ability to make the supernatural a practical encounter in every life. Simply put, Calvin is here to help people heal from the past, understand the present, and prepare for the future. His teachings reinforce Spirit's message of hope to humanity, all to promote collective awakening and to accelerate personal empowerment. Now it is time to witness confidence in action with Calvin Witcher. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back. And I know I say I'm always excited for the next guest. Like, I always start off by saying I'm so excited for this next guest, but like, I'm really excited for this guest because Calvin is such a dear friend of mine. We still have yet to meet in person, which is totally, totally weird. But we've been Facebook friends for a while. That says a lot, right? And we like to rant on very similar things. So this might end up being a ranty episode. I don't know. Calvin, what do you think?
You know what? I think rant is good for getting revelation and just, you know, not holding things in. People hold things in way too much. So we can rant away, but it's always good information.
Rant leads to revelation.
Rant leads to revelation, absolutely. And good relationships like ours.
How about that? Yes, it's true. Ranting creates connection.
Absolutely. And ranting is honest. And that's what I appreciate. Sometimes the rants are about not holding it in and just getting it out there, being your authentic self, not holding anything back. And sometimes what is a rant to someone else is them sorting out their own belief system and the things that are highlighting what they're really called to do. Mm-hmm. And that's really good. So sometimes rant is just another expression of passion. I love it.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes,
I am a deeply passionate person.
And we love you for that.
Yeah. So we could go, like so many different ways with this. You know, me and you have had countless discussions, both online and offline, about leadership and about bypassing responsibility and about spirituality. And before I hit record today, I asked a question that I ask all my guests, which is, what are you currently like super ramped up about? And you said confidence.
Yes, confidence is so interesting in a lot of the work I do. And this just may be the season that we're in, maybe as mm-hmm. leaders. And I feel that the divine, that God, that our own God and God is within us, is really calling us to a higher purpose. And I'm finding that so many leaders are really in this crisis of confidence lately, that they probably have been doing business coaching. They've been doing a lot of life coaching or maybe some other form of work, be it at a full-time job or in their own space. And they're being called to stretch out, to expand, mm-hmm. to not limit themselves. And that brings up a lot of different things. It brings up confidence. It brings up competence, what they're actually skilled at doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what people have been skilled at doing doesn't always match what I say, like, is their destiny. or their design of destiny. And so it brings up this interesting song and dance back and forth, like, should I do it? Did I really hear from spirit? Who's going to listen to me? And that that core of confidence is such a, I would say, a key element to you stepping into greatness on so many different levels. And a lot of what I've been seeing from a lot of just business owners and entrepreneurs, whether they're emerging or established, is really this new stage of confidence. And it's interesting because I have discovered, at least recently, that a lot of us that are very, very strong in personality and persona, behind the scenes, we're working through some stuff. It's an interesting dynamic to say, you know, when you see us, it's really the aftermath of a lot of deep work. It's off of the heels of a lot of soul searching. And I want to honor that for a lot of our people that are listening and or watching whatever medium they're choosing to follow us. Because, you know, the journey to your power is going to come through the filter of your confidence. And there's no way to get there other than just going through it and owning who you are.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And I love that you said that the confidence is, it's like this aftermath of our deep work, because it's true. Like, so many people don't see what goes on behind the scenes, and they don't see the dedication and the commitment, like what it actually looks like. They just see the transmutation of it and how we show up online. You know, and it's like, people want to step into it. And I don't know if this has been your experience, but this is my jam. I mean, a lot of people come to me because they want to step into that confidence to lead their purpose. And what I'm finding is a lot of people are spending too much time faking it until they make it versus like practicing it until they be it. And I feel like that's such a important distinction, especially now, because I don't know, like there's this weird sense of, if I just fake it enough times, it'll happen. But I find like that bypasses the inner work to actually create the confidence from within.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's an interesting conversation because you're right. It's a lot of behind the scenes work that I feel like a lot of the, you know, I don't want to say maybe genuine or authentic, but definitely the people that we maybe idolize or admire, including you, right?
And you. That,
yeah, there's a lot of work that's going behind the scenes, and it's not all pretty. I would argue that a lot of it, most of it's not pretty.
It's really fucking ugly. Let's just be real.
It's horrible. It's horrible shit. The best journey and worst journey you could ever go on in this life, I feel, is the spiritual one. It's the self journey. It is the crucifying yourself daily and working through it. It's the second guessing yourself. And then second guessing yourself again. It's the, you know, looking into your office drawer and realizing that you have visions upon dreams upon goals that you've written down and put on post-it notes and in, you know, other books, and you've kind of tucked them away and hid them because either you were just too scared, you didn't know the strategy behind it, you had, and my favorite is you thought of an idea, but you didn't execute on it. And then you saw someone else execute on the idea. And then it really shrinks your confidence. And you're like, fuck. Now what do I do? Like, so it's interesting because this rat race, if you were, of entrepreneurship and business ownership is really for lack of a better term, it's really a ploy for significance. It's a race to see who is going to see me, who's going to hear me. Am I better than the other person? It's like high school. You know, if I wear the latest jeans, you know, will people accept me? Will I be in with the cool kids?
Right.
And God forbid, now we attach money to our meaning. Mm-hmm. It just up-levels it to a whole different level. So and then if you're not making enough money, you are now put into the category of you're not that great. Your money is a proof of your value, as most of us say. And sometimes I find that it's people are trying to fake it until they make it. And so we buy all the webinar softwares. We get the nice, flashy website. We say exactly what you need to say. We use all the buzzwords, authentic, be your best self, and, you know, income, impact, influence.
Right.
You know, we know all of these words. And that's not to say the people that use that or not being authentic. It's not, aligned with their core message. It's just to say that at the end of the day, I think we all have to search ourselves and really ask ourselves, the image that I'm putting out there online, mm-hmm. is that really me? How I talk online, like I say this before, like I'll cuss in a minute. It's like, shit, like it is what it is.
Yeah, if you're not already following Calvin Witcher on Facebook, like go ahead and follow him and you'll see exactly what he's talking about.
Right, and that's what I love about you, because it is a what you see is what you get.
Yes.
Now, it's not to say that we are, showing our bleeding heart online all the time, mm-hmm. or telling all of our personal business, like what color socks I'm wearing today.
Right.
Which
what color socks are you wearing?
It's so funny. I wear the coolest socks. They're like multicolored blue, pink, and I guess it's like a tan color socks. I'm telling you, like anyone that wants to buy me a gift, you could totally buy me socks.
Noted.
Socks and Oreo cookies.
Noted.
So yeah. And I will say that's what I love about you, because what you see is what you get. And I think that when you finally get to the place that you are crushed and crucified and you've kind of won the soul award mm-hmm. for getting to where you are, you express it unapologetically. You are not really that filtered in what people are thinking about you, how people are going to perceive you. You really get to a place that you say, I earned this image. I earned this identity. Mm. And you just walk in it. And does it come without consequence? I mean, no. I mean, there are consequences. I mean, you and I both know this for a fact. Some people are going to like if you cuss and some people not. And for that, I say, there's an unsubscribe.
If you don't like that we cuss, you're on the wrong fucking podcast.
Wrong one. And a lot of this experience is, you're right, it's a fake it till you make it. You have to fall into an image. I mean, I do healing work.
Right.
I'm a part of like shamanic communities, and people are talking about, if you are not a vegan, you can't be a shaman. Like, how does that happen? And then if you're a life coach, if you're not, I don't know, whatever the coolest thing is right now.
I don't even talk about like my eating anymore, because people crucify me for being plant-based. People crucify me for eating meat, and like people crucify me for like following my intuition. I'm just like, fuck it. Like, I don't need to show you guys my meals all the time. Why do I need to show you guys my meals?
Right. It's so funny. Like the things people get, crucified on. I'm like, mm-hmm. I watch vegan restaurants because I'm allergic to nuts. So I just don't want to die. I don't want to die. And again, does that mean all vegan has nuts in it? No, it just means that I have an aversion to it, at least right now.
Right.
So yeah, people are up in arms about everything. And I find that when you're really aligned and attuned, or Abraham Hicks says, tuned in, tapped on mm-hmm. into your calling, everything flows from that space mm-hmm. of no filter. Everything flows from that space of authentic power. Everything flows from that space of, I'm happy with me, and I've earned the right to be me. And that's probably a great affirmation for a lot of people to say right now. I've earned the right to be me. I've earned the right to say what I want to say. I've earned the right to talk like I talk, and wear what I wear, and eat what I fucking want to eat, and see whoever I want to sleep with, and do business the way I want to do business.
Yeah.
And that is great. And I love it.
And this is like, and this is the missing piece, right? I think a lot of people are parading around, especially with the rise of quote, I'm going to put quotations around this, quote unquote, leaders. With the rise of leaders, it's easy to buy followers. It's easy to put on a face. It's easy to filter the shit out of everything that you're doing. It's mm-hmm. so easy. What's hard is like actually being the truest embodiment of your mission and the work that you're here to do. And I feel like that's what you're talking about, and that's what you've been running into, is that piece. And people are starting to realize it, because that's the missing piece. Like, you can build a large following by buying followers, but at some point, longevity is going to matter. And that's not going to be a way for you to create longevity with your mission and what you're here to do, nor does it even feel good. You have to start doing that inner work at some point in time, own your shit, and step into that confidence and conviction of who you are, so that you can show up and be unapologetic. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I get messages from people saying, I just love how unapologetic you are. I want to be like that. It's like, cool. So you ready? Because it's going to take a lot of fucking work. And right. you can do it. Like, I think that, mm-hmm. I believe that everyone can do this. I believe that every single person on this planet can step into their most unapologetic selves if they're willing. If they're willing to do that inner work, and not everyone is willing.
Right. And here's the funny thing, because even as you're talking, I'm mesmerized and how you're just flowing right now. To say someone is unapologetic also is a signal that at one point we were apologetic, mm-hmm. that we did say, I'm sorry, that mm-hmm. when we showed who we are and we were vulnerable for the tiniest little bit, that we were condemned or, mm-hmm. you know, made fun of. And so to get to, that's the backstory. Right. And that's a story that a lot of people don't really talk about. And I think after a while, especially if you're really in tune with your own level of leadership, you know those people that are, and those people that are still on the journey, mm-hmm. hopefully to get to a place where they are unapologetic with themselves. But yeah, I remember even with me, and you know, I'm sure this may be some similar experiences with you. Mm-hmm. I used to always be apologetic of who I was, you know, and some of that was not necessarily me apologizing. Right. But some of it was the, you know, the copycat syndrome. Some of it was, well, what do you need me to do? I'll do that. What do you want me to be? I'll be that. Now, some of that was my religious upbringing, mm-hmm. that conditioned me to do that. Mm-hmm. I think some of it was maybe conditioning even with my community from a minority standpoint of, you know, be sure that you do this and don't go on that side of the tracks and be sure who you, your friends are. Watch them because, you know, so there was a lot of conformity.
Yes.
With the character. And people bring that same level of conformity and masking back over into spirituality. It's super fucking easy to write a book and become a number one Amazon bestseller.
Oh my God. I think people don't realize how easy it is. There's a formula. If you follow right. this formula, it doesn't matter how shitty your book is. If you follow this formula, you will get to number one on Amazon.
Right. I mean, it's super easy. I mean, write a crappy book. Let it be 50 pages, pick an obscure category that nobody else is in right. or hasn't posted in like 25 years, and ta-da, you're number one bestseller. Doesn't mean that you're number one bestseller in a hot topic, mm-hmm. you know, self-development, spirituality, etc. You know, it might be some weird category, you know, basket weaving for, you know, African-American, left-handed, you know, liberals. I don't know, something weird.
Right.
We know those tips and tricks. And am I saying people to not do it? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you don't have to use that as a way of validating mm-hmm. your own virtue. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that, especially if it doesn't feel aligned. I mean, I don't know how many people, business owners, that I've had conversations with, and I've said, listen, I don't care if you have a business and it's making you tens of thousands of dollars a month. Mm-hmm. If it's not aligned, scrap it. Sell yeah. the business. Find some way of making money off of it. You can sell the business and still make residuals off of it. There are plenty of ways to do that. You know, yep. sell the business, give it to charity, move to Bali. Don't mm-hmm. care. But I'd rather have work with someone, and I'd rather be that person that says, I'm completely free in my space. And I want to be able to, in leadership, transfer that level of self-ownership to my people. You can always make money. Mm-hmm. That's honestly, I feel like money is probably the easiest, one of the easiest form of expression and empowerment. Being who you are and doing that unapologetically is quite another different thing, because when people judge us, they're not just judging us. They're judging right. what we've gone through, and they're judging those sleepless nights and those times when we thought we were going crazy, or maybe we did go crazy and we mm-hmm. ended up in a psych ward. And we're judging. People are judging our background and where we grew up and our parents and what they could or could not do. So that's a loaded statement to even yeah. say unapologetic. And mm-hmm. I don't think people look at it from that depth of an experience. Like when someone says to me, you're unapologetic, I process that in, you fucking right. Grew up in a single family home, in the projects. Plenty of times my mom didn't have, you know, money for you know, food. She would open up the oven to heat the house because we didn't have money for electricity, you know, for the heating during the winter time. And plenty of times I went without having certain things. Stayed with my grandmother for plenty of years with, you know, really no electricity, no running water. We had to go to the well to get water. We had a slop bucket, which some of you probably have no idea what that is, that we would use. And when we finished, we'd go into the woods, empty it, clean it out, bring it back in the house. I could learn to cook on a wooden stove. That's my background. That's my history. Yeah. And, you know, to being in the religious side of things in church and being outed and having to start over and losing friends, you're absolutely right. Unapologetic now, because I know what that means. It's not me just saying a cuss word. It is not just me saying what I want to say online. It's not me coaching and leading like I do. It's really from that space of saying, I've earned the right to be here. Yeah. And I appreciate the journey to be here.
Yes.
And it's a journey that I don't necessarily need to repeat, because somehow in my mind, I haven't connected the dots of the experience. I learned what I needed to learn through that process. And there's a new chapter now. And that chapter it looks a little bit different, but the foundation is the same. And it's appreciation, it's honor, and it's an acknowledgement that while that was the beginning part of my journey, it doesn't have to be this part, and it doesn't have to be the next part, and it doesn't have to be my client's experience, and it doesn't have to be my children's experience, that through my leadership and through my past experiences, we can rewrite a different story. Yeah, and that's fun.
It's fun and it's powerful. And that's the piece that I think a lot of people get stuck in, is like, first of all, I love that you describe unapologeticness as like, it's you embodying, earning the right to be here, to be you. I think that's super powerful. And this is, from my experience with my clients, is often that trickiest piece. I like to look at it as conviction, like there's being confident, and then there's believing in yourself. And then there's this conviction where it's like, I'm just going to be me. Like, I'm fucking me and I love me and I know my mission. I'm super clear on what I'm here to do. And that's it. Like, that's who I'm going to be. And you just show up in that way. And I feel like that is a type of leadership that also our world really needs right now. Like, our world really needs that right now, because I think that we're cracking we're busting through so many different paradigms at this moment in time. Like, the conscious collective is elevating. People are talking about, well, I want to elevate the conscious collective. It's like, first you have to elevate yourself, like, out of these old paradigms that you've been carrying around that are not serving you, right? And so we're just like busting through all these different paradigms. And I think that unapologeticness is that next level for people to reach. And it's exciting, because how awesome would it be if everyone just fucking loved who they were to the point where they could just be without that fear of judgment getting in the way. And I don't know, I feel like social media is the thing that has really amplified this, because social media has made it far too easy for us to mask who we are, for us to edit, for us to filter, which is why people are becoming more disconnected from their true confidence.
I would totally agree with you on that. And it's so funny, because I'm such a word guy. And this is probably
you are. Okay, just to our listeners, if someone has, like, you better not be on Calvin's feed with a spelling mistake, because he will call you out on that shit.
I listen, I'm the spelling guy, I'm the grammar guy, I'm the language guy.
He's the grammar police.
I'm the grammar police. So I'm like, listen, especially when people misuse words, I'm like, I don't think that means what you think it means.
Yeah.
I mean, you can create your own words. That's cool. I mean, I create my own words. You know, it's like, you know, suchy much. I don't know. It's a thing. Who knows? It's not in the Webster dictionary, but it's an interesting thing, because social media, I don't think people understand the level of psychological and subconscious programming that just even those two words together actually means. You know, social is all about community. It's all about the expression of oneself out into the collective. So it's actually really not an individual identity as much as it is a tribal, you know, a tribal positioning, so to speak. It's very social. And then even the media aspect, by media's own nature, it's all about communication and it's all about the content that's out there. I don't think really people really understand it at its core, that us being on social media as integrated and as intense as we are, just from a personal standpoint, not necessarily business, but from a personal standpoint, there is this really search for significance. It's this struggle for significance. A lot of it is conformity driven. You know, people are getting certain likes and people are getting certain shares and notoriety. We've got to do what, you know, socially is happening in this medium. Mm-hmm. And I think people that haven't gone through the journey of thought leadership or their own personal leadership lose what's happening through that process, that it's not just about community. And I believe in community. We have a community. I'm always talking about community. But community is really only as strong as your personal individual convictions. And we need that. We need that on the political scene. Hands down, we need that on a lot of the religious scenes. There are a lot of things that are happening. I mean, in politics, you know, I talk about anything from the White House down to local government. We're seeing stupid, just outrageous things in around the world. You know, bombings and shootings. You know, in California, gosh, California, all the way over into France and just other places. And then just on the you're in the space, I'm in the space too, life coaching and spirituality. There's so many scandals and things that happen behind the scenes that are now starting to come to light. And a lot of us are like, well, shit, we already knew that. That's nothing new. But it's now being shown for really what it is. And I really think we're getting to a place that you're no longer, here's what I predict will happen over the next year. I believe that people won't have a choice but to be authentic. I believe that authenticity will be the next calling card for affluence. You know, I believe that we're already starting to go there, but I think that's going to be the next space of currency is that level of confidence. Can you show up and be who you need to be? Can you do that without the honor of a like? Can you do that without the honor of someone hashtagging you or your business? Can you do it from that space? And I believe that when you can, then everything becomes a lot easier. Like I've said this before, I put critics and celebrators in the same category. Whether you're a critic and you hate my stuff and you've created YouTube videos about me, which is out there, or you've screenshotted my stuff and put it negatively on Facebook, which people have done, whether you're that type of critic, or whether you're a celebrator, I love what you do. It's so awesome. It spoke to me. I put both of those people in the same category because people that love you today, as soon as you say something they don't like or disagree with something that they are saying or vice versa, they become your critics. And critics sometimes are just unknowing. They're you know, they haven't had an experience with you. But when they've had an experience with you, they can be your celebrators. I value more conviction and commitment. I feel like I've always valued that, but give me someone that's convicted by what they do or who they are, and they're committed to go through the cause. Because that's the true test of it. Will you still stay in this game? And will you still stay in your business? Will you still stay with those friends? Will you still stay with that partner? Will you still stay, you know, doing what you do in the midst of all the other drama?
Yeah.
That kind of person. I'm okay with that. The other two, I appreciate both. You know, I think in spirituality, it's wise to say, what about those situations is a reflection of me? So I look at my critics and say, okay, what is it about what they're saying that has a, you know, a thread of truth to it? It's, I mean, they're not just making it up, and I'm not denying all of it, you know, is in existence. You know, someone says, he's so arrogant. What about that is true? Yeah, probably.
But what's interesting even about that, like your ability to do that, is that takes a level of confidence, right? That takes that also takes a level of confidence to be able to dive into that awareness piece of, okay, so what is this reflecting within me? I mean, that takes courage, it takes bravery, and it takes confidence to be able to dive in that deep and do that work, versus like playing the blame game or
getting offended,
shifting responsibility or doing any of those things, denying really any part in your life at that moment.
Right.
And that's where, you know, that just creates an incongruency, I think,
yes,
with leaders. Like, if you're not willing to look at your own shit, if you don't have the confidence to like just look within and look at how you are in fact co-creating everything around you, and your critics have something to reflect back to you, as do your celebrators, then there's an incongruency in your leadership.
I agree, hands down. And I think the mature leader can look at both of those experiences objectively and learn something from it. Yes. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to take everything as face value, because some people, you know, he has really big eyes. Well, I don't know what to do about that.
Oh my God. Do you get that too?
God, all the time.
Me too. So all many times. Like, people like creep up into my DMs and they'll be like, your eyes are so big. I'm like, what do you want me to do with that? Like, okay, fact. They are big.
Fact. They're big. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with that. I mean, I don't get offended.
Right.
I just don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You cuss a lot. Okay. And there are some people that like that. Some people that don't.
Like, and there's people that are just straight up mean on social media who will like call you out for every imperfection. And that takes a certain level of confidence to be able to continue putting yourself out there over and over and over again. Right. Like, people have commented on my eyebrows. People have commented on my eyes. People have commented like on a whole bunch of like on my cussing, on like me not knowing what I'm doing, on a whole bunch, an array of shit. And if I were to let that, their words, it's the same idea of like letting other people validate you. So now you assume that this audience of yours, even the critics, has the power to validate you. So as soon as they have an insult to throw your way, or as soon as they have something bad to say about you, that is somehow validating that you're bad in that way. And it's not true. And this is that curse of social media, where it's created this need for external validation. Like, I think the need for external validation is so high right now. It's so high. It's much higher than it's ever been in our collective. And it's throwing people off their confidence.
Absolutely. And I would say there's something you just need to ignore.
Where's the ignore button?
Press the ignore button, delete them, move on. I mean, my block aim is so quick.
Oh my God, me too. Like, I seriously just blocked, banned from my page 5 people this morning from my page for sliding into my DMs with inappropriate shit.
Right, right. It was so funny because I was just in Massachusetts doing a conference, and there was a heckler there, and she was like, are you Calvin Witcher? Well, yes, I am. thanks. You Googled me. I appreciate it. And she began to heckle and all this other stuff and, tell me how I was wrong and believe in what I believe, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I had a group of students with me. And they looked at me. They're like, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to do anything? And I said, I can either empower the faithful or entertain the fools.
So
do you want me to keep empowering you, educating, teaching, training, spending time and energy on you, or go to the one person that's in the street screaming at me, and I don't even know her name? I said, here's the funny thing. She knows me. I don't even know who she is. So she's a nameless heckler out there that has not been a client, that has not, I've not received one PayPal receipt from, and I don't even know who she is. I said, you want me to spend my time there or actually giving you really good stuff in this moment?
Right. And in itself is like, that's confidence in action.
Right. Confidence in action at the CIA.
Is that what it is? And it's exactly what you said at the beginning, is like earning the right to be me. Like, that's you really, that's not just you saying it, that's you really standing in it.
Right. Absolutely. And some of this is you're attacking a persona that you see.
Right.
It is still me, but you're attacking certain words that I said or certain things that I, am talking about, which is an extension of me, but not the essence of me. And I'm very aware of that. And I think that leaders, you have to be aware of that. Like everything that you're putting out there as a business owner, everything that you're saying, doing, creating, marketing for, that's an extension of you.
Yeah.
But it's not all the essence of you. And you've got to be able to make a distinction with that. Like very clearly, or you're just not going to survive in this,
this
space that we're going into.
There's no way. No way.
There's no way.
I mean,
no way.
I know at this point, some of our listeners are like, okay, well, how do I really step into that then? Like, how do I really step into this unapologeticness, this embodiment of earning the right to be me? Like, how do they actually do that?
You know, my answer is very, very simple on that. I am a firm believer that transformations come through training and through tribes, like just hands down, trainers and tribes. You need to get around a community, tribes, that are embodying that same expression that you choose to. You know, birds of a feather flock together. We've heard all of these terms before. You need to be around other people that are modeling that particular energy. Mm-hmm. And go. And again, I'm not, whatever your thing is, this is not a judgment. Listen, if you're a vegan, go do that. If you don't cuss and you're like Mother Teresa, go do that, boo.
Just do you.
Not a judgment.
Yeah.
Just do you, boo. It's totally fine. And I have friends on a lot of playing fields. And it's I love it. It's beautiful. You need to definitely be in a tribe of people that get that. I would say getting around teaching that can also help. I'm always very leery to say that because we are not to open up another can of worms, but I think it's very easy to get teaching now with YouTube out there, with everyone and their brother's got a course. With Google, it's very easy for people to get information or that teaching, but not implement on it.
Right,
and
exactly.
And so it's just so easy to do.
Well, that's why I think the training is so much more powerful, like training and tribe, like training, like actually learning something and then integrating it and implementing it, like doing it, being that warrior, putting it into action while being surrounded by the people who inspire you.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Yeah.
So definitely you need to be a tribe. In a tribe, and I would say definitely, and when I say training, I am more specifically talking about a trainer. Like you need to get a leader, a mentor, a coach, whatever you want to call it, a guide, a facilitator. I don't give a shit what you call it.
A prophet, like whatever you want.
A prophet. Like, people get hung up on some of these labels. I'm like, listen, can that person take you to that next level?
Yes.
I don't give a shit what you call it. Guru, you know, sensei, whatever. If you find someone that you can really connect with on that trainer level, that you can say, that's what I want to do, that I resonate with them, you need to stop thinking, you need to stop processing, you need to stop waiting, because quite honestly, that's probably what is keeping you stuck and has kept you at the space that you have been for so long. And I think leadership is going from one level of fear to another level of confidence, to another level of fear, to another level of confidence. So getting a trainer that can work you through that step ladder, so to speak, is golden. It's golden.
I love that. Yes, it's definitely step ladder. It's definitely layers that we have to work through to step into that unapologeticness. So cool. Do you have any like final thoughts that you want to share with our audience? Time just like flew by.
I know, right? It's so powerful. I love it. You know, it's so funny. I'll give two things, one of which I say all the time, and then another one that I just posted yesterday on, yesterday or some day before on my Facebook page, which is, none of us are getting out of life alive. Leave nothing behind. And that sounds a little bit morbid, but it's also very empowering because it's, we're all going to die. At the end of the day, we're all going to, you know, transition onto the next stage of whatever that journey is of life. Of course, take every moment, take every day, take every situation extremely, you know, powerfully, mindfully important. You know, it's the thing about not living in a space of confidence and authenticity is that the days go by very, very quickly and you forget, like, I didn't show up, you know, 2 weeks ago, and then I didn't show up a week ago. I didn't show up today. And that tends to be the journey that people go through, is they keep spending days not showing up. And then they're going to get to the end of this journey of life and look back and say, well, why did I show up enough? And then we call it regret.
Yeah.
So live up to your destiny every single day. And it's okay if you fail forward in that process. It's all good. Next, I always like to say, you know, for people that are taking that or daring greatly,
yeah,
as the great poem says, as you're daring greatly, remember that you're not in trouble. You're just in transition. That this is a very temporal space that you're in right now. And the sooner that you can learn the lesson, the sooner that you can take that confidence or those core teachings and, you know, really, really, really transfer that into the energy of confidence, mm-hmm, and move forward, life shifts so, so quickly. You will be surprised at who you're going to be 2 weeks from now by you making one confident decision today.
Mm, yeah. Love that. Love that. Calvin, thank you so much for being here on today's Thought Leader. It is always such an epic conversation when I have you here.
Thank you so much for having me here. We must do it again. It's so powerful, so great. Thanks for everyone for listening and connecting with us in whatever way you did. We always appreciate and value that time as well.
Definitely.
Because people can be doing a lot of other things.
Totally. Rather than listen to us. Why don't you tell our audience how they can stalk you online? And I'll have all of this in the show notes too.
Sure. We love stalkers.
We do.
Just don't show up at the house unless you bring red wine and Oreo cookies. Other than that, stalkers are welcome. I would say the easiest thing is, you know, Facebook. I'm on Facebook quite a bit. So facebook.com/CalvinWitcher. My website, calvinwitcher.com. Just like it sounds, Calvin with a C. And then YouTube, we have a lot of new content that's getting uploaded and live streamed on YouTube every week, sometimes several times a week. So those are the best ways to get in contact with me. And I'm trying to be more diligent with Instagram. So I'm trying. Don't judge me.
Okay. No judgments here. No judgments.
Cool. I'll tell you.
Awesome. Yeah, so I'm going to share all of that in the show notes. Calvin, thank you again. Thank you so much for being here. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. If you enjoyed this conversation between me and Calvin, please leave a rating and review and share this with your community, share it with your friends. Just share it. If you have any questions for myself or Calvin, hit us up on social media. The handles are going to be in the show notes. You can reach me. I am Ruby. And I will see you back here on Thursday for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader.